stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin.
Welcome to episode number 159 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. 16th of November, we're recording this one on. Getting close to Christmas here. Thanks for giving us a bit of your attention. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra. Some people refer to him as the King of Canberra, Bradley Croker. How you going?
I'm good, Brady. I don't know. There's not that many people that refer to me as the King of Canberra. That's true.
Just you.
Getting your king status back, I reckon. You've had a good week last week. Looking forward to talking to you about that.
Isn't Brett Robinson the King of Canberra?
No, he moved. He's now the King of Melbourne and the King of Australia after he got the half marathon record.
Yes, I'm all good. Just counting down the weeks till the end of school. It's been really busy. Normally, as a relief teacher, you don't get much in term four because the seniors leave and the regular teachers have some gaps, so they fill them up. But I've been pretty much 4 days a week, which is yeah, pretty big for me lately.
I won't know what to do with yourself 4 days a week.
What, 4 days? Well, I won't know what to do with myself when I have 4 days off. That'll be good.
Yeah.
A couple more weeks left.
Yeah, it's like that down here too. You could work every day if you wanted to. High demand.
How many are you doing?
I'm only doing three at the moment because I do the dad stuff on Thursday, Friday. But then the border, that's a big news from down here actually, Brad. The New South Wales, Victorian border closure's getting sorted out on this Sunday night coming. So, which means my mum can then come to my house and she doesn't work Fridays, which will make me available on a Friday. And I've got to do this like different role for the last 5 weeks of term. So that'll be 4 days a week, which will knock me around a bit as well, I think. Mm. But help out at school, which is good.
Yep.
4 days? You have to work 4 days?
As a teacher.
You wouldn't know anything about it.
I'm on six and a half days a week.
What, on the beach?
Yeah. You go in 2 days a week.
You know you can get internet on the beach too, by the way.
Yeah.
If you don't rack up 12,000 to 14,000 steps during your workday.
Yeah.
Yeah, do some proper manual labour. You're calling this a labouring job now.
It's pretty hard on the body. PE teaching's hard, Moosh.
It takes a physical toll, yeah.
PE's hard. Oh, what, you set the tee ball up, put the ball on top of the tee, off you go, kids. Play some rounders.
PE's hard because you've got no walls. Like, your classroom management's got to be really good because you can't contain them. Hey, Brad.
Thanks, Brady.
It's hard behaviour management, Moose, trying 100%. To keep... Brad's probably got 35 kids in the class up there, Moose. 35, 17-year-olds trying to teach them t-ball, running around everywhere. Yep. You need to start having a bit of respect for your teachers, I reckon.
No, well, my teachers were all right.
Were they? Just played t-ball every week?
Yeah, t-ball. Teed it up. It was a pretty good game. I got pretty competitive with t-ball.
Did you ever play softball?
Nah, that was that. Nah, I didn't play softball.
You're not coordinated enough. Needs the tee.
As if you would try to get softball happening when you can have tee ball, when there's never a miss.
We need more coordination for softball.
Softball's good. Sneaking bases.
You can't pull a bunch
of
kids in that don't even play sport. Half of them are nerd burgers. You can't teach them how to throw a softball and then hit it.
Welcome to this week's episode, Joy and Spence. Welcome.
Hey. Here I am.
Yeah, got him fired up early, Brad.
It's not hard.
What have you been doing, Moose? What's been happening?
Well, it's coming up to the busy period for me because all the brands are showing us their product for the second half of next year. So we're having a look at it. We're making decisions. How many we need, what models we need, that kind of thing.
Second half of next year. We're only in the second half of this year. You've got to think ahead. What's going to happen in the second half of 2021?
Well, I tell you, we didn't plan for COVID. I don't think anyone planned for that, but that's one of the problems with ordering stuff so far ahead, and you just don't really know what's going to happen.
So this question, I wouldn't be surprised if you answer it either way. So with the increase in online sales, does it mean that more stocks moved in your industry or less, and we're going to be seeing like massive Black Friday kind of sales coming up in a few weeks?
For us,
I know. I just mean in general. You don't have to go into like the running company Ballarat, but just like a Nike or a Adidas or New Balance or whatever. Like, how would they be looking in general?
Nah, they are out of stock. So the hardest thing about our business right now is having enough stock in, because the distributors are fully out of stock themselves, because they've adjusted all their orders when COVID first hit on product that was coming into the country so long ago. And so by adjusting that, maybe they cut it by 50% or something.
Because they didn't want to be left with a whole stack.
Exactly. Yeah, they didn't know what was happening. They started shitting themselves. Countries going into lockdown, stores shutting, events getting cancelled, right? So a big panic.
China
as well, yeah, which is where a lot of the factories are. So all of a sudden, the brands go, oh, shit, let's cut this while we can. Let's not take the risky route. Let's take a safe route and cut our orders. So they do that, and then all of a sudden, bit of a running boom happens. They've got minimal stock, they've got lots of demand for that minimal stock, and all of a sudden their warehouses are empty. And that's, and now we sort of have customers coming in and we're sourcing shoes for them, but it's getting harder and harder to keep our stock room full at the moment.
So Moose, because the companies I guess cut their orders by maybe 50%, but now knowing how big a sort of a running boom's happened over the last 6 months, do you reckon if the companies had actually just had their production as normal, they would have sold everything still?
I'm not sure.
That was probably my question, yeah. Brad. Yeah, from the start.
We're only a small country, Australia, on the global market. And so we're only a small market. So I'm not actually sure how the industry's gone globally. I think it actually died pretty hard in some countries, and others that could stay open that sort of managed it okay, like us. We actually got going pretty well. So I think those that if it was purely an Australian business is taking a risk, and they had have said, hold on a second, no one can go to the gym. Footy season's finished. No tennis, no gymnastics, no ballet, no whatever, no netball. All these people are going to have to find something to do. They're going to go running. If you had have looked ahead and predicted that, you're a genius. You'd probably make $1 million.
And will some stores or some brands, for example, instead of having, because obviously the online stuff's picked up, instead of like when it comes to reopening their 10 stores Australia-wide, will we only see like 5 reopen and they'll like be more on the online space, you think, some of the running retailers?
Yeah, I do think there's been a few sort of landlord issues as well. And so what may have happened, I know especially in some of the big malls, the landlords were quite rigid and they didn't really work with their tenant. And so we're seeing a lot of sort of disputes end up in just vacancies, or so empty, or a lot of vacancy rates now. So you'll find someone go, okay, well, I'm not going back with that landlord, and while I'm out, I might as well move on now. So that's probably one thing. And then, like, it's easier to sell a shoe online because there's less cost involved, but it's also a bit of a race to the bottom in that regard. Like, you have to offer premium service somehow. So what's your hook? If you start an online store, like, why would someone come to your online store and not go to the other online store? And you have to sort of provide some point of difference. And a lot of the time it turns into sort of discount and then discount, discount, discount. And in the end, they shoot themselves in the foot because they're not making any money, but they're trying to sell product because they're not making any sales. So they go cheaper, cheaper. And what it does is it pisses the brands off because it starts to bastardize the products that they're getting discount. So if you always see a product, like if you always see a product on sale and getting discounted and slashed, you start to think less of that product. You start to think it's not actually worth the recommended retail that it is. And so if a store comes along and goes, oh fuck, I can't, like I need to make some sales. Let's just say this Dunlop Volley, I'm going to sell this at $5 instead of $10 like everyone else. And then the store next to it goes, fuck, $5. We're going to have to sell it at $5 too. Then the store down the road goes, oh, in order to get more people, I'm going to sell it at $4.50. The shoe's actually worth $15. It's getting these stores that are doing the discounts are making nothing on it. Not a sustainable model to keep going, to keep their business going. And all of a sudden, Dunlop Volleys are going. Dunlop's going, hold on, our shoes are worth $15. Why does everyone think they're worth $5? No one's going to want them. They're going to think the quality's shit. They're always going to be this discounted cheap brand, and the reputation suffers. And we see that with online stores as well. And hopefully this is giving brands, like, I don't know, maybe it's sort of showing them that their product is valuable, and it needs to be in the right setting to get the best service. Like, here's another example. Guy goes online, goes, I'm going to buy a pair of Dunlop Volleys online. Doesn't get fit out, doesn't know what size he is really, doesn't know what sort of Dunlop Volley he needs. Clicks one because it's blue, goes, bang, I'm going to buy this one. Gets it home, goes, oh, these are shit. These don't fit me. They feel like garbage. They're no good on this surface I'm running on, and my foot's like falling off them. So he goes, Dunlop Volleys are shit. Rah, 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 what don't want this, send them back. Whereas that guy comes into our store and goes, I'm here for a pair of running shoes. And we go, okay, I'm here for a pair of Dunlop Volleys. We're like, okay, cool, let's work out what Dunlop Volley you need. Let's have a look at your foot. This Dunlop Volley is going to do this for you. It's going to be better in this terrain. It's going to be better for this foot shape. He walks out in a pair of Dunlop Volleys that fits. All of a sudden, he's like, fucking Dunlop Volleys, these things are the shit. These are great, Dunlop Volleys. His mate goes, oh yeah, Dunlop Volleys, great. My mate said they were good. I'm going to go and ask about some Dunlop Volleys. So brands need their product in a better service environment for their reputation, for their profile, to increase their value. Anyway.
Interesting. Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah.
No, maybe you should do like a TED talk or something. I feel like part of a conference.
So did I. I felt like I was back at school, Brad, and like interested in it.
So online store, we have an online store which we sell a lot of like fast shoes where someone might already know what they need, or they want to try a shoe without necessarily needing fitting. But we sell like one training shoe on there per month, I reckon, from someone who's probably had it in the past. So it's not a big deal for us. It's just a good way to get product that's very exclusive to a broader market or very niche. So we get like, say we get a spike in, right? Let's say the Dragonfly. There might be 7 people in Ballarat that even know what a Dragonfly is, whereas the whole country is like demanding it, like track and field groups all around the country. So without the online store, we can't really get it to them very well or very efficiently. So that's the beauty of our online store, is we can reach niche track and field groups around the country and niche communities that we never used to be able to reach. So there's definitely value in online stores, it's just not a high service environment. We try to do our best we can, get it out really quickly, always talking to the customer, letting them know updates on their shipping. Like, you can do as best you can, but you still can't really fit someone properly.
What about, this is a question that came in the other day when we were doing some market research. I think it's for the Shoe Geeks episode that's coming up next. Will you get to a stage with the online stuff that you do like a Zoom call, and then all people send you videos and stuff, and then you'll be able to fit them from there? Like, you're talking about people in, I think the person used the example of like country towns. It's very, like, we have very limited opportunities to get to a running specialty store.
Yes, we can do as best we can through that, but having someone put a shoe on their foot and you feeling the fit, hearing what they're telling you about that shoe, that's like 80% of a fitting. Like, we can do some stuff on paper that takes away as much risk as possible, but there's like an art in seeing a shoe on someone's foot and listening to what they're telling and knowing a potential shoe out the back that they're going to like even more. And that's the art to it. And the art, you can sort of lose the art over, like, without seeing the foot and watching someone run in person and hearing what they're telling you, those sorts of things. So
What about this idea for you then? I got a mate around the corner, he just gets like a random slab delivered. He's on some subscription and he just gets a random slab of beer delivered every month. What happens if you paid a fee to the running company Ballarat, start of the year, like make it $1,000 a year, and every month you get a pair of shoes delivered?
There's a brand that does this. There's already a brand out there, not a store, but a brand that you're on a subscription base with, and they basically make the orders they make the shoes off the subscription, so it's sort of sustainable for them. And they'll deliver a new model to you like once every however often. But imagine, like, to me, that's a little bit sad, being stuck in the one brand all the time. And
oh, no, you got a different brand. Like one time you get a New Balance 1080, then the next month you get like a Nimbus Light Asics or something.
It's actually a pretty good concept. You know what I mean?
And then like it'd be for the high socioeconomic people, they've got a bit of money to throw around. Yeah. But at the end of the year, they go, oh, I like that one 6 out of 10, that one 8 out of 10. You know, they might end up donating or re-gifting some of them if they don't like them.
But that's not bad. It's not bad by you.
That's pretty good. I am a very creative mind like that. The other one I was thinking about, you kind of do it like the Advent beer calendar, where you just send one a day leading up to Christmas, or even one product a day.
I like that actually. One a day leading into Christmas.
Yeah, 12 days of Christmas. But it could be like the first day you get a Surf Coast Track Club hoodie, the next day you get a pair of Next Percents, the next day you get a new Garmin. Like, just charge like $10,000 for it.
A few of those blokes out in Moama that'll pay that.
Yeah, a few in Moama for sure. A couple and up at Lake Boga as well, I reckon.
And then he has a very quiet January to July because everybody has everything.
Yeah.
I get a lot of returns on that.
All right, let's talk about some running. Moose, take us through. Actually, Brad, you can go. Moose has had a bit of airtime already. Let's break it up a bit. You take us. Oh, what about Brad's week, actually, Moose? This is the best week of the three of us this week. Take us through, Croaks.
They're a tired guy.
Monday to Sunday.
I ran a whole 60K.
But you did a good long run, you did a good track session, and you did a good park run. That's a good week.
So, yeah, so Monday I went to work and came home, did no training that day. Tuesday morning I went to the gym, did some weights, because I was having there was five athletes that I coached that were at the track on Tuesday night, and there was about 10 doing the session. So, yeah, did weights in the morning. Went out to the track that afternoon. Session was 10 400s off a 230 cycle. I haven't really done 400s off a 230 cycle before, but there was, the range was generally sort of 75 seconds for the 400 reps through to sort of 90. So 230 cycle worked well. It meant that everybody was getting at least a minute recovery. Started off first couple of reps around sort of 77 seconds. So
before you go, Brad, when you've got a group of people you coach, what I think there's about 10 of them there on Strava, 8, something like that.
Yeah, so there's five that I – so there's been a group that have been getting together every second week for a track session. Some of them I coach, some that I don't coach, but I've been setting the session for them to do. Okay.
Maybe give me the answer then, because I was going to ask, how do you choose which one you pace?
Yeah, so when I rocked up, I knew that there was going to be five of my athletes there, and knew that a few of the guys were around that sort of 17-minute or just under 17-minute 5K. So I thought that would be not a bad sort of group to just jump in and help, especially because they were then hoping to break 17 minutes for park run. So, yeah, so that's how that went. Led every rep, but first couple were at 77, and then the next sort of seven reps were between 72 and 75, off about 75 seconds recovery. And then the last rep, there's this guy who I don't coach, but I've known him and his family for quite a while, and they're just like this really talented athletic family. Like he played high level cricket, high level rugby, just one of these natural guys. And he was on my shoulder every single rep. And he's on the last one, he's like, oh, so do we rinse ourselves here? And I started to explain how Marty Dent had this rule that if you hadn't led one rep throughout the whole session, you can't then blast past the guy that's been leading most of the reps. So we take off and we get to 200. Probably a little bit quicker than what we had been running. It's probably maybe like 35 seconds. And I thought, I'm not even going to take the risk of him blowing past me here. I'll just basically give it everything I've got for the last 200, and started sprinting, thinking that I'd be able to like cruise after 100 meters. And with 50 to go, he's still like on my shoulder, and I'm like starting to get lactic, starting to get the wobbles down the straight, and managed to just hold him off. And then I stopped the watch and I looked down; it was like 62.7, and I'm like, holy shit. So it was probably like 28 for the last 200, but I was like, I was pretty lactic on that one. But it was a good fun session. First time that I've actually met sort of all the guys in Canberra that I coach. So ended up averaging probably 73, For the 10 400s.
Right, so 9 at 77, 1 at 62. We take the average. Take the average.
It really helps the average that last one.
So the average of the first nine was 74. Yeah.
You in Spikes?
No, I was in the New Balance RC Elite.
Oh, did yeah. Not legal. Did the boys cheer you off the track after that one?
No. So but it was really like I had a ball actually, like, because I've done so much running on my own, and knowing that I was meeting a group, and especially it was a group that I coach a lot of them, it was really enjoyable. So that was Tuesday night.
You'll be down there this week, Brad, if anyone listening wants to come along. $20 a head.
Yeah, no, so it's every second week, every second Tuesday. Week, yeah, 20 so bucks. Next Tuesday.
Cash
no,
only.
So like there's a charge Strava, well,
yeah,
no,
any walk-ins, $20 a session, I reckon.
Anyone can, like, because it's sort of a group that started before, yeah, so it's not purely my group. There's a Strava group called Diagony of Defeat, and that's where they post what the session's going to be for the week, which is the session that I'll set. So I haven't decided what it'll be next week, but people are more than welcome to come down. We've actually got the track booked every second Tuesday up until, like, March next year. So, yeah, if anyone's in Canberra and they want to do a track session, every second Tuesday at Woden, that's where we'll be.
I like this from him, Moose. Like, with the fashion stuff, he gets real out of touch with the common man, whereas this just brings him back down with the common people, I reckon. This is good for Croaks.
He's going to have a battle with Phil O'Saunders for the top coach in Canberra.
I think it's slightly different sort of demographic. Like, most of the people I coach are like similar to me in terms of like have kids and a family, whereas Philo's like obviously dealing with sort of the elite end of town. So
the elite runners and Tim Logan.
What about Dick Telford? There's a few big dog coaches getting around Canberra.
Yeah. So once again, like all of the guys that Dick coaches are like, you know, mid to late 20s, don't have kids. So very different to, I think, just about every athlete I coach is like a family man. So, so anyway, 6 o'clock at Woden every second Tuesday.
Tuesday, that's an evening.
It is evening. Late. Yeah, it is late. That's, families.
Mm. Put the kids to bed, then get out on the track, Moose.
But that's after you put the kids to bed.
Yeah, Mikey goes about six.
No, I think it's more the case of they have to go to work and then their wives have given them a leave pass for that one night a fortnight to go and do a session.
What, one night a fortnight?
Get home after the kids.
What do they do between 5 and 6, though?
What's that?
What do they do between 5 and 6?
Well, I think there's these track bookings, and so got the six o'clock slot. We've got six from 6 till 8. Yeah, so
you end up wasting half your shift by the time you get there at 5:30 after work, get changed, 5:45, bang, do your warm up, kicked off the track for the 6 o'clock group.
Yeah, so so that was Tuesday. Wednesday after work, I went to the gym and rode the bike for 70 minutes. Pretty like, because it was a hot day, and then going and sweating up in the gym as well. I was pretty dehydrated by the end of that day. Then Thursday after work, went out to Mulligan's and ran an hour. Most of my runs lately had been sort of 45 minutes, so that extra 15 minutes, definitely noticed it. That was 4:17s, 14.2K. Then Friday I did weights around lunchtime, and then Saturday went down to park run. So once again, pretty much all the people, or most of the people that were at the track on Tuesday rocked up to park run, plus there was a few extras. So I think I had about maybe seven people that I coached that were at park run, and there was a few guys that were hoping to break 17 minutes. So I didn't know how it was going to feel, because I hadn't done a session for about 8 weeks before that track session, and like the paces for the track session didn't feel too bad. Obviously the last 400 was hard, but the 75s were pretty comfortable, except my calves then got really sore for like the days after it. But I was actually surprised how well parkrun felt. I pretty much averaged 3:21s for the first 3K, and then I think 3:19s for the last couple. So crossed the line in 16:40, but my watch hadn't clicked over to 5K, so I just kept running through, and so it was 16:45 for uh, for the 5K.
Explain that.
What do you mean?
Like, you just ran a race.
Yeah.
Why are you going to run further than the race?
Nah, because I just think I just think I should run 5K. And the problem with the park runs is because you're running around like this loop with on a bike path, it is, and like if there's nobody walking the other way, like I always take like the racing sort of line. So, you know, the course is probably 5K, but if I'm taking the racing line and crossing over into the other side of the path or whatever, then maybe I haven't run 5K. So, yeah, some people it hits 5K, some people they get just over 5. I was like 3 seconds short or something. So
I just... the course then?
Well, no, because
you cheat yourself, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. So.
You just said that you like that's how they mark the course from, and you just cut across it.
Well, I don't know whether like I don't know how they actually measure the course, but
you stay on the path the whole way, though, don't you?
Yeah, I'm on the path, but
is it one of those paths with like lines going down the middle, though?
Yeah.
And you go on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
Top, mate, you can't go doing that.
Park run. Anyway,
our park run, we've got the same thing. You've got to stay on the left, mate.
That's where the course
is measured from.
If I was fully cheating, I would have stopped and then not run the extra to make it 5K. Anyway,
a couple of people here have got 5.05. Rob Wilson, he probably stayed on the same side the whole time. Mm-hmm. Good on you, Rob.
Yep.
Hey, Moose, he was quick to remind us that he did win the age grade, though, Saturday afternoon. He sent that through saying, hey, boys, I checked the age grade, and guess who got the W?
Asked me whether I won. I said, no, I finished third. And then I said, but I did win my age category.
I didn't ask you if you won your age category, though. That wasn't my question.
You obviously don't pick up a joke.
Congratulations. Oh, I thought you were serious. I was like, you would be the guy too that looks through everyone's results to check what age category they're in.
So that was good. That was good fun. It was good turnout. Like cardio.
Good vibes back down there, Brad. Just keep talking about parkrun for a second. Like a lot of people in Australia aren't back to parkrun yet and they would listen. Like good vibes down there.
Yeah, it was great. They've got like an app now where they want you to so you download the app and then you scan the QR code just for, I guess, contact tracing if it's ever needed. So they know who's actually been there. But yeah, it was good. And it was more enjoyable for me as well because there's, you know, guys there that I was coaching and had a guy break 17 minutes for the first time, which was pretty cool. I was actually surprised, I think I've averaged 40 mid 40k a week for the last 9 weeks, and it certainly wasn't an all-out effort. I probably could have done it again, so I've obviously kept just a good level of fitness. Trying to run a minute quicker would have been tough, but happy with where my fitness is. And then on Sunday I went back to the treadmill. I had an enjoyable run the week before where I did 90 minutes, and I thought I'd do at least 90 again, and went for an hour 45 this time around. So got me at 24K on the treadmill and 140 something heart rate. So
you listen to a podcast or something? That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a long time. Just music. I actually have to. Well, the treadmill stops after an hour. So what I did was I stopped it after 12K and then started it up again. And then so basically did 2 12. K blocks with probably 30-second break in between while the treadmill shut down and started up again. So just have it on 1% gradient. And it's interesting, though, I don't know if you guys know much about the calibration of watches when it comes to treadmills.
No,
so the week before, I ran at pretty much a similar pace, and it measured 1 kilometer further. And then this week, I probably ran slightly faster, and it measured like nearly 2K short, which is a huge, huge difference. So I just don't know how the calibration works with the watches, but I just go off what the treadmill tells me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know fully on that. I always struggled when I was doing a bit of treadmill stuff, knowing which one to go off. I always went off the treadmill in the end.
Yeah, because it had yesterday, like it had free, averaging like 445s to 450s. It's like, no way I'm running that slow when it, like, the treadmill has it at 14K an hour for a big chunk of it. So
I think it goes off your arm movement.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought my arm movement would be that much different from week to week, but Anyway,
but then it goes off your stride. So it counts your strides by using your arm movement, I think.
Yeah, and, okay.
Then just calculates like stride length versus your whatever.
But I even noticed that the cadence is very is wrong when I'm on the treadmill, because I actually every now and then I'll actually count for a minute just to see what my cadence is, and it was like 178 to 180. But when I finish a run on the treadmill, it always says that I've run about 170, which even when I'm outside, I never get 170. I'm always like mid to high 170. So who knows? But anyway, it was...
Do you know sometimes if you look at your watch and instead of swinging your arm, you're holding your watch?
Yeah.
So it's not swinging?
Yeah.
So it probably doesn't count a few of those... that's my guess. That's a guess.
But see, I don't hold my watch when I count for that minute to calculate my cadence, like, because there's a clock on the treadmill, so I just count off that. So yeah. I'm still swinging my arms as normal. So 63.7K for the week. So it was a fun week.
Good week. A lot of quality in there. Moose, do you have a fun one?
I guess so. It's my biggest week for a while again, which was nice.
Just looking at your blue bars on Strava, the progression over the last 6 weeks has been very nice to see visually.
Oh yeah, let me have a look. I like good visuals like that.
Yeah, that's good. Just slowly builds. 48K you went from.
Oh yeah, 63
to about 70 to 74. Yeah,
I think that counted cycling for a while too.
It's just all
activity. So it's not actually like if it was running, you'd see big gaps there.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was praising you for something that wasn't accurate.
Nah, but I stopped cycling ages ago.
Would be accurate from October.
It would be pretty accurate. Yeah. So on Monday, I ran 12K with Ali and Bree, and we ran around Anglesey. 4:45s. This was pretty warm. This was a nice day. We ran sort of mid-morning. 129 heart rate.
Working hard. Run mid-morning.
It's my day off, mate. Well, I get one day off. And even on this day, this is bookwork day. Come on. And actually, I had to film a bunch of videos. We got this, like, Run Strong is doing some promo work for the Golden Plains youth program.
So, Golden Plains Music Festival, is that the same thing?
No, it's in the same region. So Golden Plains is like the region there, the shire, the council or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And so they're doing a youth week and they're promoting running. So we're doing a bit of work with them.
Good idea.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good initiative. Mental health, kids, running, exercise.
Yeah, it's 4 weeks. Hopefully, like, get them into a bit of a routine that helps see them through summer as well. So,
how old are the kids?
I don't know. I think it's teenagers. Youth week. It goes to youth. I'm not actually executing the program. I'm just sending through like some training programs and stuff. But
you're just the name on the poster, the big dog name.
Nah. You can't stand kids, so we won't be implementing anything.
Just need a headline. Name to it.
Yeah. A few selfie videos.
Charges them thousands of dollars.
Takes his shirt off. He's on the beach.
Oh, no, not a lot of that at the moment. 6 o'clock, next morning I had a double, so 6K with Bree, pretty chilled out. So I did a workout that afternoon in Ballarat, bloody hot as shit. I think it was like 30 degrees when I ran it. 7 by 3 minutes at 10K effort with 70 seconds jog rest between. So I did this with Tony Lockyer. He's a footy player in Ballarat, trying to get him to be a runner because he's pretty good at running. While I was there on the bike, it was fully in the sun too, so it was really little shade. It was the first super hot full sun day we copped. Downhill kind of for the first one. 3 minutes. 309, 308, 309, 308, 307. So the splits were actually super even, but the effort just got harder and harder and harder. So towards the end, it was pretty good. I was going to bail out a bit early. I was going to bail out like at 6, And then after about a minute of the rest, I'm like, fuck it, let's go, let's do it. So I jogged up again, and then I'm like, I'll do 90 seconds of it. And then I got to 90 seconds, and I'm like, you just finish it, pussy. So I finished it. And pretty cooked that night. You know when you have a real hot session, we get probably a bit of heat. What is it? Heat stroke? Heat?
Heat stress.
What do you call it? Heat stress, whatever it is, the light one, where you're just a bit fucked up. Then next day, same too, wake up. Pretty tired, have a shit sleep because the session's a bit too hard that evening. So you have a poor sleep, and then I just chilled out. 4:41s for my easy run, still 136 heart rate, which kind of showed how cooked I was, because that would not be normal. It would not normally be that high on a flat run. So I listened to the heart rate there, listened to the body, did some core OP rehab stuff, some adductor work. Next morning, it was Thursday, ran with Bree, 14K, and Ali as well on the trails, did some strides afterwards. Yeah, then did some core in the arvo. And then the next morning, Friday, again, it was workout day, so I doubled. 4:42s, I ran, so pretty slow again. I'm enjoying these slow, easy runs, because that afternoon had a Surf Coast track club got together for a tempo run. So we went out to Paraparap on this loop out around the farming areas and ran 12K tempo. There was a few of us all at different paces. The first group, so I went out with Matt Gunther, Lockie Doak, and Bart Davis, Craig Davis, and we our job was to run about 3:25s for the 12K. Matt had 16, and then we got to about 3K in. It was all uphill, kind of into the wind. It was raining, and we were just like, why is this so damn hard? Lockie dropped off the back. Craig dropped off the back about 4K, went up a good hill about 6K in, and all of a sudden Craig's back on us, and we have a 6K kind of cruisy finish. So it ended up averaging, what did I average? I
haven't even written 320.
320. 320, which was good. I did this workout earlier in the year, exact same course, and I averaged 308s, I think. So this is definitely it's obviously slower, but it's nice to be back with the group. Heart rate was 163 beats, so that's pretty low, I think, for this type of workout. And, yeah, it was good. Like, good to have a group there. We had probably, I don't know, 10 of us or so. Could have gone 16K easy that day, but don't need to at the moment. Next day, Saturday, again, just chilled out, 10K, 132 beats at, I don't even know, I didn't write down what it was. Pretty slow, I reckon. And then did some OP exercises in the arvo. And Sunday morning was the, we thought it would be real hot, because it was always, Sunday was supposed to be a real hot day, but in the morning it was kind of chilly. It rained on us early down here. So we had 24K big group. I don't think we've quite allowed big groups yet, but I don't know. It's hard to control who shows up, isn't it? We ran in Anglesey from Point Road Night, ran 24K, 4:23s, 336 meters. And then, yeah, my heart rate was up this day. It was wrist-based, but I'm pretty sure it was accurate, 147. Dave O'Neill on the front, driving the pace early, put us in a bit of a hole, I think. And then had a swim afterwards, did some OP exercise in the arvo. So 115K week, that two workouts, one long run. Next week, tick over.
One thing I like that you said in that recap was I could have done 16, but I didn't need to.
Didn't need to, not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, patience. It's a good lesson for everyone out there, I reckon. Just because can doesn't mean you should.
Oh, that's good. Was that my quote?
Yeah, I think so. I might have stolen it off you. I'm sure you didn't invent it, though.
Sounds like a smart man said that once.
Let's recycle. Just go back, listen to Road to Berlin 2016 stuff. Just say stuff that you said 3 years ago.
That would be a good little revisit.
I should look up the numbers on that, see how they're going, see if it's still ticking along. This is our podcast we did before, Inside Running, if you're new to Inside Running podcast and wondering what we're talking about.
It was about three times as good as this podcast too, by the way.
Jeez, it'd be cringeworthy to go back and listen to it, I reckon. We would have been
so green. It'd be raw. We didn't care because people were not listening to it. So you can say whatever you wanted. No one got offended back then.
Yeah, we haven't offended anyone for a while, though.
I'm being careful with that. I just can't deal with these pussies that send emails and shit.
Right. Oh, I just had a look at it, Brad. I've opened it up now. Jeez, 5,000 downloads on it. That's all right. Anyway, get distracted. Tell you about my week, eh? We'll go pretty quick here because I tried to get this hamstring right. So I went to the physio. I ran 10K before work on Monday, nice and easy. Went to the physio Monday night with the instructions to do my hamstring exercises, my glute exercises, massage my back. And we got a massage gun, which we're reviewing next week. So I've been giving that a bit of a workout the last 7 days. And stay away from any speed stuff. So that was Monday night. So Monday morning, I did 10.2K at 4:34. And I've named Tuesday's run progress. Like after I got a bit of treatment on the Monday night, the physio, I did 10K again at 4:24. And I just feel like I'm a lot freer and probably a lot fresher as well in those first couple of Ks. Like I don't need the 4:50K to get rolling into a 4:30K. I can kind of roll straight out the door into a 4:30 or 4:25 or whatever it is. Then Wednesday, I rode my bike to work on Wednesday. No, that must have been Tuesday. Yeah, that was Tuesday. And I was actually looking at your Strava, Brad. Some of your bike riding's pretty impressive, averaging over 30K an hour. I thought I was going all right. I rode to work. It took me, 8 minutes to do 3.5K pretty much. Averaged 26K an hour. Thought I was going pretty well until I saw yours. Brad's clocked off, I reckon he moves. I'm trying to bring him in. I'm like, come on, Brad.
Out of the toilet. Yeah. Like, I'll pay it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, good cover up. Did you just put your hand over the mic? I'm like, shit, I've just made it back in time.
I've been struggling with some dodgy internet for the last few minutes, so hopefully I'm back. Hopefully I'm back on. I can actually hear you now, but I didn't hear much of the last few minutes.
I was just saying I fanged Carly's bike to work on Tuesday. Averaged like 25K an hour on the mountain bike, passing kids on the footpath and stuff. And then you put me back in my spot when you've been telling me you've been riding at 35K an hour on the exercise bike. Anyway.
Yeah, no resistance there, mate. No resistance on the exercise bike.
Yeah, that's easy. Anyway.
Yeah, but.
Live in the fucking capital city.
Yeah, it's the Watt bike.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, the Watt stuff yet. Oh, actually, I think mine said Watt when I uploaded it. It's pretty fun. I enjoy riding bikes to work. You kind of just get a bit of that extra endorphin hit before you have to go teach for the day.
Better on the environment too, mate.
85 watts I average, Brad, for 24.9K an hour.
How the hell did you get that off Carly's bike?
Yeah. This is just, no, I was running late and I'm like, I'm going to have to fang this to get to work on time. And it's like, she got an okay mountain bike. And I just, and I had to stop a couple of times. Like, yeah.
Do you do the Nick Earl?
What's that? Mate, if you're going to have jokes, you got to have better internet.
You do the Nick Earl. Sweat it up.
Oh, so no, I wasn't.
Start the day all sweaty.
No, I wasn't sweating. And I was teaching PE that day, so I did it in like the short shorts and like polo top. So I was in bike riding attire. Anyway, I thought about a possible career in maybe some road cycling after running. Any pro teams out there want to give me a contract, let me know. Wednesday, 10K, 4:29 again. Thursday I had off, didn't finish. Actually, Carly, she had a meeting after work and didn't get home till a bit later. And I thought, I was just tired in the afternoon. I thought, you know what, there's no good, I'll just give this hammy 24 hours, just have a day off, it's nothing to lose, see if it feels better on Friday. I did 31 minutes on Friday at 4:20s. So the trend here is I'm getting quicker, but this 1 out of 10 pain, which is not even pain, it's just discomfort. It just feels like I'm not covering the ground like I usually cover the ground, but I still, like, it's not like I'm limping or anything. I just can't shake it. Saturday, did 50 minutes, 4:23. Sunday, joined the boys for their long run, just because I still wanted to be part of we've only got three of us in the group, but still wanted to be part of the group, still get a smoothie afterwards. We did 90 minutes, Glenn and I, at our 4:19 pace. It was hot, like it was like 21, windy, and in a bit of full sun, a few stages there as well. Wore my heart rate monitor. How quickly can you lose fitness? Because I was blowing it like 145, I think, at the end of the run. Average
warm, was it though?
Yeah, 22. But for the last, I was over 140 for the from 12K in, which is pretty high for me.
Yeah, once you get a bit dehydrated, though, it's really hard to bring the heart rate back down.
Yeah. So in the end, I ran 73.4K, no workouts, and I was a bit frustrated. I thought, I'm doing everything the physio told me to. I've given it a week, and really, like, this Sunday just gone, the Sunday before, I had exactly the same discomfort, like that 1 hour 10 still there. Nothing. It didn't work what I was doing last week. So I think I'll book in to see him again. And just, I don't know, can you get scans on your hammies and stuff, and they can see if there's anything going on? Do you reckon that's the next point of call? Yeah.
You can. But, like, if your pain's, I don't know, 1 out of 10, like, as Moose and I said to you yesterday, like, I haven't been less than 1 out of 10 since 2005. Like, 1 out of 10 is 1 out of 10's not much.
And the thing with it being 1 out of 10 at the moment is I know when I do a workout or if I do something fast, it will become 5 out of 10. Like, and I'm like, well, there's no point doing that yet if I've still got this 1 out of 10. Like, what's the point of doing a workout just to flare it up? But as I said, I'm not a physio, I don't know what I'm talking about.
A few weeks of those exercises, that'll help a lot, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe I'm being a bit impatient. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, I'll just do them for 3 days and then I'll be fine.
Yeah. Physio stuff can take a while, like 6 to 8 weeks sometimes.
Yeah. And I've heard that hammies are slow and stuff as well. So, but I'm in it. I don't enjoy being injured, but I don't mind as much as some people because it rarely happens to me. So I kind of get to see it as this, like, all right, the decision's been made for you. You got an injury. You got to have some time off. You got to, like, ease back. Mm-hmm. You got to, you know, kind of go through this cycle in a way and be patient with it. So, yeah. And I got a blood test last week as well, and I've got a doctor sent me a message about going in to talk about me iron. So I'm going in there tomorrow. So hoping that, there's probably something going on if they've asked me to come back in. So it's a perfect time to address maybe both those things right off 3 or 4 weeks, rebuild.
Yeah.
Come out and get on the track in Geelong. What date's that? Like, 19th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That'd be a good thing to get back for.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Might have to get fit if you're going to come then.
I don't know. I reckon I'm losing fitness pretty quick. It might be a good matchup in the end. Sorry, Brad, you want to say something?
Oh, well, firstly, you don't lose fitness in a week. It's more just that, it's just that neuro, like, you just lose the feel. And so that's where sometimes your heart rate climbs a little bit more, but you definitely don't lose fitness in a week. And on the scan, like, I guess the good thing about a scan will be it'll rule out like damage to the hamstring, because often hamstring pain's like coming, it's nerve related from the back. Mm. So at least if the scan comes back clear, then you know it's probably more nerve and back related than actually obviously a hamstring issue.
Yeah, well, you just write that off, don't you? Like, you just start putting lines through things that it could potentially be.
Yeah.
All right, let's thank some Patreon supporters, eh? Moosh, want to kick us off?
Could do that. I'll start off with Tom Follin, Bradford on Avon. Bradford-on-Avon. Is that a town name?
That's what it said, yep. Bradford on Avon.
Maybe
it's called the Avon River or something. And the town's called Bradford on Avon because it's on the river.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, Tom, it's a town in England.
I've just looked it up. There is. There's a river next to it.
9,000 population of the town. He banged 12 400s last week in 67 average. That's faster than Croaks. Stops his watch after every rep, though, and looks super. Oh, you don't. Come on, Tom. Stops his watch after every rep, though, and looks super impressive on Strava as 4.8K in 13.57.
Tom tricked me here, Moose. I looked him up. Found out where he lived, and then I looked through his train and saw 4.8K at like 2.53 pace or something. I thought, this guy is fast as.
There is another bloke in Australia who does this and tries to pass it off as actual run time, but it doesn't work like this, Tom.
I never
Now that we've bagged Tom, he's just clicked unsubscribe. There goes our Patreon subscription.
Bit of friendly banter, Tom. Keep it there. We'll keep as many patrons as we can.
Explain this, Tom. How are you going to know how long your rest was if you stop your watch?
Yeah, that's, I never get. Like, do they just count in their head for a minute or what, 90 seconds or whatever?
And maybe they just, like, do a manual
heart rate. A physical heart rate test. No, they have the watch. They have the watch face on.
Maybe. Or they
could do it with somebody else who keeps theirs running.
Perhaps it's like not a time based thing; it's a distance based. Jog 400, bang, go again.
Anyway, still, tell us something
valuable miles off that.
Tell us something else about Tom Moose.
I got some PBs: 15:58, 35:15, and 1:22. Ooh, I'm going to say 5K. 5K the best there.
Good work, Tom. Thanks for your support. Please don't cancel your Patreon subscription. Brad, who you got?
My shout-out this week goes to Lee Medhurst. He lives in Oxley in Queensland. He's part of the in-training running squad up there. He's run 98 minutes for the half, 3:38 at New York in 2014. And I think he's originally from Bromley in the United Kingdom. I did have a look at his Facebook page, actually, before we jumped on, and he does race cars. Seems to drive a Toyota 86. So,
what is a Toyota 86?
Well, have a look on his Facebook. Yeah, and you'll see.
It's just got race listed car. As like, you know, when you're on a running race, Moose, and it'll say like Julian Spence Surf Coast Track Club. His name was on there like Lee Medhurst, and then it just said Toyota 86, and they had the 86. Toyota logo.
Like a Toyota Supra or something?
Maybe Toyota Corolla.
Toyota Seat.
And there's some
Toyota Hiace, it could be.
He could race.
Yeah. Gets a bit loose around a few bends on one of his video. He loses it. So,
does he?
Yeah. Yeah. So go and have a look. Thanks for your support, Lee.
Thanks, Lee. I'm going to thank Ben Mokler. Mokler. Do you think I got that right, boys? Mokler.
American Mokler.
Yeah. Mokler, yeah. This is another interesting car connection here. He possibly works for the Mercedes-Benz Formula One team. Has a few photos on his Facebook page. It looked like he was the one behind the scenes there doing a job there. Has at least one child, lives in the UK. He lives in Leeds in England. 5K 18:00, 10K 36:07. So that's the best so far. Half marathon 1:22 and the marathon 2:59:33, just scraping under at the Yorkshire Marathon. Also ran 100K, and Moose, tell me if this is a solid time or not, because I'm not sure what 100K times mean. 11 hours, 37 minutes. Solid?
It depends if it's over mountains or not. Oh, you put that 100K in the bloody French Alps, that's a great time, but around a track, it's not the best time.
Oh, okay.
But, look, he's run under 3 hours. Let's talk about that. That's a good time.
It's a solid time. Bit of running news, boys. Thanks to all our patrons over there for keeping the show alive each week. The Inside Run podcast brings you value. You can chip in and help us bring the content out. We'll give you a bit of bonus stuff. Heaps of bonus stuff up there. Actually, everyone always asks me this. If you sign up for Patreon, do you have access to the old bonus stuff? And that's yes. So all the like Road 2 series, all the bonus episodes, Friends of the Show, all that stuff, it all sits there. And then you unlock it when you sign up at that level. A bit of run news, boys. I'll kick it off. Millie Clark down at some random Tassie Interclub meet on like a Tuesday or Thursday night or something. She ran 15:41 for 5K, paced by Sam Clifford. Expected to see her on the roads at the Launceston Running Festival in a few weeks' time. So Millie's fit. It'll be interesting to see which event she does down there at the Launceston Running Festival, whether it be the half marathon or the 10K. So that was a good time on the track there. Any comments, boys, before we go to Queensland? Brad? Oh, Brad's letting us down today, Moose. Going to have to carry him through tonight.
This is embarrassing for Canberra, I think.
Isn't it? Like, why can't they get you think Canberra? It's like, don't they have real good internet there?
He's just a tight ass. He probably pays like some off-peak rate where at 6 p.m. Tuts out. Yeah.
There'd be heaps of gamers up there too, I reckon, like that real kind of gaming community. Yeah. I see heaps of kids be playing Fortnite, even adults and stuff, I reckon, be gaming hard up there. Anyway, you got anything to say about Millie's race?
I didn't see the race, no. Yeah. I don't think it was streamed.
Anything about the result, though? 15:41, second fastest Tasmanian ever female, over 5K.
Who's the fastest?
Yeah, stretching me there. Don't have that information in front of me. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a good run. Good run. Obviously, she's fit. I don't think it's like, it's not like a crazy out of this world time, 15:41. She had her very best. She'd go close to doubling that for 10K. or she wouldn't, because it's not her best, but maybe it's close to her 10K pace when she's firing, I reckon.
Solid for a marathoner, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's been doing a lot of shorter races. Like, we peg these people into marathoners because that's what we talk, on a grand scale, she comes second or something at Gold Coast, whatever. I'm not sure whether she did, but she does. She gets great results there. But she's also run quite well over the half, and she's running 15:40. I'm not calling her a marathoner because of that. Someone we call
second at Gold Coast, 2:28.08 half marathon, 70:48, 10K, 33:24.
Yeah, well, that's not it. She can run faster than that.
15:41 was her previous best. Anyway, something to think about. You want to tell them about your mate, Tom DiCano, also running a 5K?
Yeah, well, he ran 14:07.50. We can call Thomas a marathoner, I think. Can we? Maybe not. Maybe he's done well over the half as well.
Yeah, he went to the world champs.
Yeah. But Tom, he ran this, I think he swapped out a few laps with Kieran Tall and then took off by himself. God, he's fit at the moment, this fella. Just rolled this solo. Backed up with some 1 mile reps the next day, 30K fast the day after. He's doing a lot of work. Got a lot of bones to absorb that, though.
I think I saw his name maybe floating around a start list down at the Launceston Running Festival as well.
Half marathon, I think. I've got a list, but
full
I don't
preview.
Think it's an official list.
Let's get Welshy on because he's been good to us in the past to preview that. He can announce it, eh? See what happens there.
He buy you a beer once, did he?
Yeah, he bought me a few beers. He gave me a bit of prize money, actually, after I won that race down Hobart. Remember that?
He looked after you with that race. Shuffled all the other entrants into
the marathon and the 10K.
Really softened the field.
Just gave me a weak field. Nah, Dave Ridley was there. He was going to the World Half Marathon Champs. Brad, you back?
I'm back.
Tell us about your mate, Adam Fogg, the big fog dog up in Queensland.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was the UQ Classic, and normally this attracts a fair few interstate athletes, but obviously with COVID, that wasn't the case this year. Adam Fogg got the win in 3:46.57. Now, the time's not super quick, but the way it was run, it was 2:06 through 800, and he closed his last lap in 53 to 54 seconds, which is pretty good running. Callum Davies was second in 3:47.1. Drew Thomas third in 3:47.53. And Jack Bruce was fourth in 3:47.59. In the women's race, Lily Burton from New Zealand. She ran 4:17.82. Hannah Cox was second in 4:18.37. And Ella Wilson was third in 4:22.65. And according to the results here, Ella Wilson's only 14. So it's pretty good running from Ella.
Hey, Moose, I think I just took that Tom DiCano story off you before. We didn't even go through the times and the results.
I did. I just said 14:07.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't hear that bit. I was getting distracted. Listener question, Bradley.
Listener question comes in from Clay Hopgood. Possible listener question. Moose spoke last week about wanting to shave about 5 kilos. That's probably the case for a lot of us, especially coming out of isolation bad habits. What healthy ways do you guys know as runners to go about dropping a few? Obviously, everyone will have a different starting point with diet and alcohol consumption, etc. Thanks for your question, Clay, and keep up the good work on the stats.
Been a bit low on the stats lately. Been a bit quiet up there.
Too busy mowing the lawn, do you reckon?
I must have unfollowed him. It's a good question.
It is
because,
a good question.
Yeah, as runners, generally speaking, if you start linking weeks of training together, you will start losing weight. Mm. But we also are a little impatient too, as runners generally are. So we want things to happen quickly. And there's definitely some decisions you can make. Firstly, let me preface all this by saying this is me, not you. I'm not saying you need to lose it. Probably see someone about losing it or talking to someone about it if you need to. There's a real unhealthy obsession with being lighter in running. But I look in the mirror, I'm looking at my scales and I have a reference point for what I should be. And when I look down, it's not
it's well above where I need to be right now. So there is actual justification to for me to go, hey, get your shit sorted, boy. Get rid of those things. And I'll take you through a day of what I used to do. So I would wake up and have like coffee toast in the morning. I might not have that toast now because my runs aren't as long as they used to be. And so training at 180K a week, I pretty much didn't change my diet when I went to running 0K a week. So there's a reason why that starts accumulating on your body. So I'd sort of might cut back that pre-run meal a little afterwards. I don't really change my breakfast too much. It's a lot of the in-between stuff. So then I might even have pastry in between with a coffee, or I might have like an up and go or something mid-morning when I don't really need it. I've changed it to more like a little snack, like a nut bar or something. For lunch, I've started to have a bit more salad rather than big focaccias and a lot less bread and more of other things like rice meals or just sort of vegetables and meat. Mid-afternoon, got rid of the excess stuff that I normally have, replace it with a banana. Drinking a lot more. I find like if I've got something in front of me like water, then it's stopping me from going looking for snacks as well. Just out of habit, just out of like boredom, I go look for snacks rather than actually even when I don't need to. Cut out the big thing for me is going from maybe three beers a day or three drinks, that could include wine, just down to one, just being super disciplined, having one a day and that's it. And then there for dinner, like not adding multiple pieces of bread to dinner, just sort of having the dinner as it is. And then, yeah, just limiting corn chips before dinner, basically just making a whole lot of better choices when I get to the kitchen.
Mm. Sounds like you're trying to cut out a lot of carbs there too, like those excess carbs, like the extra piece of the bread and like going with the salad instead of having it in a focaccia.
It's not so much carbs I'm cutting out. Like I don't like carbs.
Stuff.
It's just calories at the moment. It's more like I'm getting rid of calories because I just don't need them because I'm training at like, if you look at my training load, it might be, it's like 50 to 60% of normal training load, yet my diet didn't change. So you have to adjust something. And for me, it's adjusting the calories going in. Let's say roast, right? Let's say some roast meat, some roast veggies. I don't need bread then. I'm getting the carbs from the veggies. When I'm training 100K a week, I'm having that bread. When I'm not running that, I'm not having the extra bread. That's the difference.
It's an age and a genetics thing, though, isn't it? Like, I can use that same example that I could run. Like, last week when I ran 70K compared to a 150, 170, 160K week, I still ate the same but then didn't put on any weight. Like, I find it difficult to put on weight, but I'm sure there's going to be a stage when if I do that in the future, if it be, you know, 2 or 3 years down the track, then I'll be having the same situation you're talking about. Metabolism, genetics.
Definitely genetics plays a part, without a doubt. Like, I reckon if you looked at Brad, he'd still be a little weasel like he was.
Brad's probably cut half his training half and hasn't put on any weight.
I reckon I'm about a kilo and a half, like heavier than what I would like race at, which considering how little I'm training, it's not that much. Mm. And if anything, I'm probably eating worse now because I don't feel like I need to be as disciplined because I'm not training for anything. Mm. Find summer is a lot easier because I just find I'm never with it being so hot, I'm never as hungry. And just listening to your body, like I know now if I'm not exercising as much, like I'll get to lunchtime and I'm definitely not as hungry as I normally am. And so much of it is you're just in the habit of eating particular things at a particular time of the day. And so I think just being conscious of, are you actually hungry or are you just eating it because it's there and that's what you normally do? But also, like, don't be obsessed with it. Like, you know, yes, losing some weight might help your running, but if you're miserable because you're going without things that you actually enjoy, then that's not going to be good for your running either. And I had this discussion about this same discussion with Sean Crichton, actually, because he's like, I don't know, like he's way heavier than he used to race at, still runs quite well, but he doesn't want to give up his wine. He doesn't want to give up his chocolate because he wouldn't be happy and he wouldn't enjoy his running, you know? So I think it's a bit of a balancing act.
Did he, I wonder how his diet was and how that decision making was when he was going to like the world champs and everything.
Yeah, I think he...
back in his peak.
Yeah, I think he was slightly disciplined. I remember him saying to me once when I was doing like some bookkeeping for him that the morning muffin used to always be his downfall. He used to love a good like chocolate chip muffin or blueberry muffin. So I don't think he was... I'm sure he was disciplined, but, you know...
Here we are referring to... one muffin a day as being a downfall.
He's probably doing 35K a day.
Yeah.
And like he would have still drunk wine and all of that sort of thing. So I think it's everything in moderation. And if you're training a lot, weight will generally take care of itself. Like if I'm running a lot, I'm happy to eat a little bit more junk food. Actually, do you guys see the video?
I was about to bring this up. Yeah, and Mono. Yeah. Have you seen that, Moose?
Oh, I did see it.
We have to share that. What site was it on?
I don't know.
Posted in Distance Running. Okay.
We'll share it on our Facebook page, listeners, as well. So if you want to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and so it was an interview with Mono, like it's him and Crichton, and they're in the gym doing stuff. And
they're like 19. They're young. Yeah.
And they're talking, and somebody commented about, you know, people have commented that my diet's not great, and you know, because he has some ice cream and Mars bars and cherry ripes, but you know, look at, you know, so Mono ate all that stuff, but look at times he ran. So yeah,
Mono was almost like defensive of it though, wasn't he? Like he was getting a bit fired up that people were having to crack him about it in the video.
Yeah
so, there's no doubt though, you've got it, like
you're better off having those calories going in if you're training hard than being pedantic about it and nothing. Like we've changed the shift now to like underfueling, yeah. So don't be the person saying I don't want to eat sugar, I don't want to eat junk food. I don't, like I've tried that before, and you end up losing weight and you become not healthy. Like it's
And as runners, if you're training at a reasonably high level or you're dedicated, you make so many sacrifices in so many other areas of your life as well. And then if you start doing it with your food as well, like you become miserable.
Mm. One place to start though, like going back to the question, is writing. I think you've talked about this before, Moose, with your dietitian, just writing it all down, just keeping a food diary for a week and then giving that to someone who is qualified, not Googling it or whatever.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey, I'm trying to lose weight. This is what I've eaten the last 7 days. And you have to be honest with it. Like it's a bit of a vulnerable kind of thing. Or, hey, I'm struggling with energy or whatever. This is what I've eaten during the last week. Like, what can you tell me? How can you help me out? And especially this day and age with all the like Zoom appointments and stuff, like that is an appointment you can do, and you can access some really good professionals.
Quite easy, way. Too. As runners, we have such, like, we're so routine-based that writing down your weekly mile, I bet you it doesn't change much, your weekly diet week to week. I reckon there'd only be a few little differences here and there for dinner and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like for me, I went to the dietitian earlier in the year to get better fueled. So I was actually quite, like, I was under-fueling, basically. I needed more fuel to help perform at certain times of the day. And getting the timing of it right, what they're quite good at is giving you the right breakdown of, I guess, macronutrients. So when should you eat your carbs, when should you eat your proteins and fats during the day to maximize your performance, then maximize your recovery.
We're definitely not experts in this area.
No, but we'll close in saying that. Yeah, seek out an expert with some of your resources and go from there, and keep an eye on our Facebook page and we'll share that video of Mona and Sean Crichton. Moose on the Loose, Purchase of the Week. Thanks, Clay, for the question.
All right. Actually, this is an interesting one because it's related to food. So the other day I got this packet of jerky from the Bottle-O when I went through. And it looked quite good. It looked kind of like a smaller brand. And it was delicious. And so I got home on the internet. I'm like, where can I buy this jerky? And you can buy it in bulk from the actual company. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get the smoky one and the chili one. And in the end, I'll spend $100 on jerky, beef jerky. And then it came and it's like
this massive packet, huge, is a kilo of it. And you, and it says must consume within 7 days of opening.
You idiot.
This is fucking beef jerky. It's supposed to last forever. But apparently not. Apparently you open the bag, it's got 7 days to get through 100 kilos of jerky. So
everyone finishes their session and says, all right, guys, over to Julian's car. He's got something for you.
I'm just recovering with jerky at every run. It's my snack. It's my breakfast. And sometimes I have it late at night.
You are that guy that drives through the bottle and ends up getting stuff that you didn't even go there to get in the first place.
Bar snacks.
Have a bit of go of that. Some nuts.
Going to a pub, look behind the bar and be like, what chips have you got? Oh, haven't seen them for a while. Samboy, yep. Packet of that, packet of that, packet of that.
And the most expensive beer you can buy.
Nah. I'm on the middies at the moment, mid-strength. That's another good decision I've made. Get off the heavies, get off the IPAs. What is it, the tin sticks? Is it the tin city?
Yeah, that's a mid.
That's the mid. That's the mid. That's what I'm on.
The old tin cities. Brewing. Good one. So that's your purchase of the week. No moose on the loose.
Oh, mate, I got one in mind. I had a bit of a rant to you about it on the message group, didn't I?
Well, it sounds like your moose on the loose is that jerky needs to be eaten within 7 days.
You'd be able to preserve that shit better. Considering it's like dried meat, it's probably the meat aspect.
Oh, yeah, you need another week to prepare that moose on the loose, or are you ready to go for it?
We'll give it a spell.
Give it a spell. Mm, yeah, I agreed with you. I was a bit angry when I heard that moose on the loose. Fired me up.
Oh, when I went to you, look, I could still go at it. It might just...
I don't know. It's up to you.
We'll leave it for now, but... we'll see we'll leave it for now.
All right. What's coming up, Bradley? What are you doing?
Not much actually this week. Just working like pretty much every day and then nothing planned for the weekend. I'm going to maybe try and do a session this week at some point. Contemplating maybe going back to parkrun as well and just it's just such an easy way to get a tempo done. Like that was the big thing about last week was rocking up to meet people at the track on Tuesday and doing parkrun on Saturday. It was like two sessions that mentally didn't take a lot to get up for because it was sort of fun. So whereas the thought tomorrow of going out and doing something on my own is like, I don't really want to do that. So, yeah. So,
and you can get a race out of it as well in the 400-meter reps.
Oh, yeah. Almost run a 400-meter PB.
You'll be complaining about hammy pain or something soon. You're like, yeah, just dropping 28 seconds, second 200s and 400-meter reps. Any races up your way? Anything coming up in Sydney or ACT we need to know about?
Oh, there's the Stromlo Running Festival actually on this weekend. So there's like a 10K, a 30K and a 50K. And it's like quite hilly terrain, all on the trails. Actually our first ever guest, Trav, he's running the 50K.
New South Wales State 3K champs on too, isn't it? That's always
deep
and fast.
That's an awesome meet, and that'll be live streamed. So we'll put the link up for that.
Yeah,
that's probably the best. That's the best night of running that New South Wales Athletics put on from a distance point of view. There's maybe 10, 12 like men's seated sort of 3K races. So it's a really good spectacle. They do a really good job.
I do think you're going to lose a few South Australians.
No, they're making them do COVID tests. They're still letting them in New South Wales at the moment.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
At the moment.
They're every other state's banned South Australia people except New South Wales. Just reading this message here. Hope the person who sent it to me doesn't mind. Potter will have to do a COVID test to get in so he can enter Sydney to race. Yeah. That's Adrian Potter we're talking about. So he'll be there. Should be some deep fields. There only be. Oh, I wonder if any of those Queensland boys are coming down. Adam Fogg and that.
Don't know.
Kieran Perkins. Yeah, that'd be something to watch out for that race. Moose, what's going on down your way?
No, I'm going to see a few rangers. So tomorrow, have a look at Ultra, the shoe brand, and then also Hoka on a.
I thought you meant like forest rangers there for a minute. thought you were planning a trail ultra. Race or something, getting a bit of approval.
Ultra. AL.
When you said Rangers.
Oh, right. Yeah. Not quite.
No, that'd be exciting. Rightio.
What about you, Brady?
Just some tea. I've got to get this hammy sorted out. That's what I'm trying to do. Mm. I'll keep doing my hammy exercises. I'll book in to see a physio. I'll go see what this doctor says about a blood test. Do some teaching. Do some dad stuff. But, yeah, I think it's going to be. What about booking these appointments is a bit of a pain, isn't it? Like you book and then you can't get in for 4 days and then you got to get a referral to get a scan. And yeah, I am excited about the border opening up, though. That's going to be exciting for us in a border town. No more waiting in traffic to come home and get your ID scanned and stuff like that. So it's going to be good. Been a long time coming. Rightio, who's on? You're on road to Valencia, Moose. You'll be recording that.
I'll do that.
You're doing that. I'm doing a friends of the show.
Oh. I've got a Shoe Geeks coming Thursday.
You got a big week. Have you got a guest for Shoe Geeks? Any big name you can drop yet?
Nah, I think there's too much going on with these two blokes that we need to get a bit more, tap into a bit more of them every second week.
You saw that message I got about people requesting me to go on there, didn't you? I sent that through to you.
Yeah, that was Carly.
I don't know who that was.
Surely she's got enough of your own voice.
They only had one follower on Instagram. Must have been
Brady's fake Instagram account.
Yeah, message myself. All right, listeners, thanks for tuning in. See you, Moose. See you, Brad. Do it all again next week.
See you guys. Have a good week.
See you, bye. Doesn't matter if it don't come back. Under the sun.